20, and Jesus does use two metaphors to describe our calling on earth as salt and light. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out, trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand where it gives light to the entire house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The gospel of our Lord. Let's pray. Thus says the Lord through his prophet, "As the snow and the rain come down from heaven and return not, but water the earth, making it break forth and sprout, bringing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that for which I have sent it and succeed in the purposes I've directed. O Lord, let this so happen today through your servant. Amen." It's how every chapel at our preschool here begins. A candle is lit, and if you ask any of the children sitting there, "Why do we light this candle?" the 3- and 4-year-olds will say, almost in unison, "Jesus is the light of the world." It's a real special moment, and very true. Jesus is the light of the world. Sometimes I ask them if they actually know what that means, and they kind of look at me with those blank stares, but I would imagine the same thing would happen to us. If I asked you, I'd get those same blank stares. Because it's easy to think, like the children in chapel, like us in the real world, that we don't need no candle. It's daytime. Lights are on. I can see fine. And we fail to see that light as a gift, one that we really, truly need. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That light, Jesus Christ, is the greatest gift of all. In John's gospel, he tells us so himself. He says, "I am the light of the world." But that light is more than just a gift from God to us. It is in turn a gift to us for everyone else. Because here in that gospel lesson that I just read, Jesus says something different to his disciples gathered there at his feet on that mountain of the sermon. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now just stop and ponder that for a moment. Whoa! What an awesome privilege. What a humongous responsibility for us Christians to bear God's light. Living as we do, surrounded by shadows and darkness, consumed by our doubts and fears, you know, it shouldn't take very much to shed a little light here and there, even though on occasion it takes everything we got. You are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Funny, don't you think, that when Jesus says this, he seems to exclude the possibility of somehow our not shining, of our not having this burning light already within us? He speaks so matter-of-factly about it, almost as if it takes more effort to cover up that light than to let it shine. I mean, considering how Jesus says this, it's not just a suggestion. It's not one of those things we find in the Bible that it's good to do. It's not even really a command. It's a simple statement of fact. The light of the world is here, and it's planted in us, ready to burst forth. A city on a hill cannot be hidden unless it is deliberately blacked out or it's destroyed. A lamp will light up an entire room unless someone decides to cover it with a bowl. You are either shining or veiling God's light. It's not just a matter of some people having that light and others not, nor is it a matter of degree, of some being bright and others being, let's say, less incandescent. No. It's a matter of some people going to great lengths to dim that light already within him, to hide it, constrain it, restrict it, put it out, anything instead of shining. We've gotten so used to this world of darkness that we almost have this unconscious desire to blend into shadows, to be comforted by not shining. We know not what we do. And what we do, or what we don't do, matters to God, to the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We are the light of the world. Jesus challenges us, let your light so shine. But the thing is, it's not our light. It's His light. We don't generate it. We just reflect it. We redirect the glory of God. Like the moon borrowing the light of the sun and shining brightly on our planet, often when and where it is at its darkest. Now that should make all this shining a pretty easy thing to do. Every time we meet another human being, we have the opportunity to shine. We can let our pride or frustration or any petty annoyance cover that light up and make the world a little bit darker for someone else and for ourselves. Or we can spread that wonderful light of God all around us, wherever we go, for all to see. What a difference light makes. And the wonderful thing is, the light does overcome the darkness. It cannot lose. Light always wins. It always beats darkness, no matter how brightly or how dimly it shines. Whether it's the tiny flame on a candle, a torch walking through a cavern, a glow stick, a cell phone, a flare, a flashlight, searchlight, nightlight, high beams, even twinkling stars, to one degree or another, they bear light which chases away the inky blackness of fear and death and turns blindness into vision. It's a gift from God to you and from you to the world. You bear God's light. Paul says that this light burning in us earthen vessels should glow with a heavenly luminescence. Jesus says that that light makes us like a city on a hill that you can see for miles. I picture as Jesus says these words to his disciples gathered around them, smiling at that time, shining his countenance upon those gathered around him and telling his disciples, whether way back then or here today, you are the light of the world. Light. With it, we illuminate, reveal, expose, guide, point to, direct, welcome, and comfort. He commissions us to do all of that. Let your light so shine before others that they're going to see what you do and give God all the praise and thanksgiving. I hear those words and I think of one more thing that light does. When its beam is directed at a prism, it gets broken up into an array of all sorts of different colors. That's the difference that Jesus' light makes in us and through us. A rainbow is nothing but pure light being refracted. The light of Christ enters into us, flows through us, and enables us to see and turn everything around us. Not so much as different or other, even though they may well be, but as brilliant hues and pigments, each beautiful in their own way. Light, like Noah saw out of the ark, a color-blessed rainbow of promise, of love and redemption for us and all creation. And in the process, giving glory to our Father in heaven. That can make a big difference. We can make a big difference. The light of the world. Shine, Jesus, shine through us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.